I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it's really refreshing!
It's time to turn your garden into a smart garden on News Radio 830 WCCO. Smart Gardens, an hour of expert advice and answers to all of your lawn and gardening questions. You can call 989-9226 or text us at 81807. Now, here's Denny Law with this week's Smart Garden.
Right here on 830 WCCO on this rather dark and rainy Saturday, but always welcoming your lawn and garden questions in the 8 o'clock hour on our Smart Garden show. Who's in studio with me? Teresa Rooney, Master
Hello.
Gardener.
Hello.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Did you get a little wet coming in?
Just a wee bit, yeah. So I look like a drowned rat.
No, no,
I'm glad
no.
It's not television.
But you have an umbrella, too.
Now I do. It was in the car.
Well, all right.
Okay.
We can find an extra one here before you go.
Well, I have one. I have one here.
You got it now.
It just wasn't between the house and the car.
Well, you brought some help with you today.
I did. I brought Randy Rao.
Randy's been with us before.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Good morning, folks.
And he wasn't an official Master Gardener.
He was an intern last time. Now he's real.
Now I'm a real one.
All now right. He's real.
All right. So you have not one but two Master Gardeners here in the studio. So if you do have a lawn or garden question, now's your chance. You got a lot of brain power in here today. And by the way, our good folks at By the Yard that make the best patio furniture in the whole world.
Yes.
It's a home family run business. Well, it's not home. They have a huge, huge showroom, 11,000 square foot.
They work in
foot.
The garage.
Yes. But they sponsor the show every week, and we appreciate that from By the Yard Patio Furniture. However, it's your chance to ask a question, either by phone or by text. Lawn or garden question, 651-989-9226. And if you're familiar with the show, you know we tend to get really busy. And we don't want to miss out on your phone calls or text messages, and they're calling right now.
Excellent.
So if you'd like to do that. 651-989-9226 or send a text 81807 81807. Looking at the bright side of things, I don't have to water so much.
You
now.
Don't have to water so much, but I want to just warn all the gardeners out there and anybody who's doing their lawn care, just be careful with the heat. Just be careful. You don't need to get heat exhaustion or heat stroke.
That's a good point.
You know, take breaks. Make sure you stay hydrated. You know, most things could wait a day or two. It's not that important that you go out there and kill yourself.
Yeah, early water yourself. Hydrate yourself early and often.
And often, yeah.
That's a good point.
You just want to be safe.
And Dennis and I were talking about no weather watches or warnings as far as storms go.
Right.
But there is, again, excessive heat warning. This is in effect for
Sunday
our
night.
Area till Sunday night. Yeah, 8 o'clock tomorrow night.
Yeah.
So do that. Stay hydrated. Good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Let's go to the tech. We're getting calls, and as we line up everybody's question, let's grab some text messages. I'm not keeping up with my chives, texter says. They need to be divided next spring. They've gone to seed. Can I cut them down a ways now, or what can I do?
If you want to divide them now, you can do that. There's really no reason to divide them unless they're hollow in the center. I mean, unless the plant is dead in the center. It's crowning. Good word, Randy. that means they die out in the center. But if you want to, you can just dig up the plant, chop it in half or in quarters or thirds or whatever, and then just replant those things. So that's all you have to do for chives. Yeah, they don't really need to be divided.
If you have a question for Teresa or Randy, 651-989-9226. Text again is 81807. Let's go to the phones, guys. John and Egan has been waiting. Go ahead, John.
Hi, John.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
I want to know, when does the Japanese beetle season take place?
They'll probably be here, and I'd say
a couple weeks.
Yeah. Yep.
Mid-July.
Yep, mid-July. So keep an eye out for them. Don't use the traps.
Yep. That's like a magnet.
Yep, patrol early and often and toss them into soapy water or whatever you're going to do to get rid of them. And that's about
all you can do.
Yeah.
Okay. Really.
Texter wants to know, when's a good time to trim spirea?
Anytime, really. That's the great thing about spirea is that mm-hmm. they take multiple prunings throughout the season. It depends on how much flower and how full you want to have them. Uh-huh. It's kind of a trade-off.
Yeah. Okay, very good.
Unless you have the bridleberry spirea.
Right.
That's the one that's the big shrub that blooms early in the spring. That one only blooms the one time a year.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And if you cut it back now, you're cutting off all your flowers.
You won't be doing that. Oh, okay, yeah. Good point. Is there any type of lilac that blooms longer than 10 days? Dexter wants to know. Don't we wish?
Well, you know what you can do? What I was doing for a little while, have your regular lilacs, like your French and just the regular lilacs, and they bloom. And then have the Miss Kim lilac, the little Japanese lilac. She blooms smaller blooms about 2 weeks later. And then there's one called, I believe it's Josie, that is a reblooming lilac. And that one often will bloom again later in the spring or later in the summer.
Okay.
So that's what you can do to kind of like extend that lilac season.
Excellent.
You're applying everything you would normally do for any kind of planting is multi different times of the season mm-hmm. versus just everything in the spring or everything in the
yep.
fall.
Okay. All right. Let's go back to the phones. Dan is calling from Corcoran, I believe. Dan, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Hi, Dan.
Good morning. So I have a question in regards to blueberries. The blueberry bushes last year were about 3 feet tall. Accidentally got pruned back to about 8 inches. They are.
I would say bunnies got them. Did the bunnies get them?
No.
Oh, okay.
That was the human with the pruning.
It happens sometimes. Oops. These things happen. They'll come back again. You just, trimmed them back really hard. They'll be back. Just keep them, well watered. Give them a little compost. Make sure the soil's acidified, however you're doing that with soil sulfur, whatever method you're doing if your soil needs adjusting. They'll come back, though.
All right, good.
Yeah. It'll just take a few years till they get big enough again to bloom for you.
I see Marge in Litchfield is waiting in the wings there. Marge, everybody's listening. What's your question?
Hey, Marge.
Well, hi. I learned so much from the show. Hopefully I'll learn more today.
Wonderful.
All right.
I just bought an arrowwood for Burnham, and I know I have to have two of them in order to have the flower and the blue fruit. But I have two high bush cranberry bushes that have never, ever bloomed, and someone told me that I had two male plants. Is there a male and female to these plants?
As far as I know, there's not.
No.
You just need one viburnum. It should be just fine. They're not separate sex. They're a complete flower. So if it's getting enough sun, you should see blooms on them. If they're old enough, you should see blooms on them. Check with your cranberry bush. Mine always used to get a lot of aphids, and it would abort the flowers because it was so stressed with aphids. So that could be a problem too. But as far as I know, you should have no problems getting blooms off of everything.
All right. Thanks, Marge. Sandy is calling in from New Brighton on CCO. Go ahead, Sandy.
Hey, Sandy.
Hi. I have a birch tree. It's a young one. I had an old, probably 50-year-old birch tree that was cut down. We replaced it with a clump of two. One is doing fine. The other one, about half of the limbs are drooping down rather than up. And I'm wondering, is it diseased, or can I cut those limbs off? What should I do?
It's probably just the nature of the plant. Mm-hmm. It could be getting a little less sun, and those branches will often, when they get more sun, they will become stronger and pop up. You don't want to be trimming your birches now unless you absolutely have to, because bronze birch borer would really love to get into those open wounds. So if you do have to prune, if it's, you know, blocking the driveway or hitting you in the face when you mow, clean your pruner. Have a pruner sealer available. You can get them at garden centers. Make the cut, the three-part cut or two-part cut, whatever you have to do, depending upon the size. And then immediately put the pruner sealer on. You have like just less than 15 minutes. So cut, prune, and then if you have to do another cut, make sure you've sterilized your pruners and again cut and seal.
About the only time, that's probably about the only time really that you would add plant pruner sealer. Is if you have to do it now to protect that.
Right.
Normally you wouldn't.
Correct.
I mean, I don't.
Right.
But
if there's an insect or a disease problem, which there is in the summer for many of these plants, if you prune then, which is not the right time to prune, then you have to do the sealer. But some plants just have droopier branches. Right. And it could just be that's the way that plant's going to grow too.
I know we have to take a break, but I want to get this text answered maybe. They want to know, Texter does, is feather reed grass invasive?
No. As far as I've heard, it can self-seed a little bit, but it's not classified as invasive. That's the Calamagrostis. But some of the seeds are not sterile, so it will self-seed. So it has not been classified as invasive.
All right. Tell you what, let's take a break. If you have a question for our master gardeners, now's your chance, 651-989-9226, or send a text, 81807. And good morning. Welcome back to CCO Smart Garden Show here on A3OWCCO. A couple of master gardeners in studio helping you out. Teresa Rooney, master gardener, and master gardener Randy Rao, who was an intern earlier, you said?
He was last year.
Last year.
How about that?
Class of 17.
Now, how long did that take for you to get to this point, Randy?
Just the 1 year of the internship, but the first year involves like 50 hours of volunteer and then like 25 hours of ongoing training. And then this year they bring it down. But you still, you know, by what we do, we still obligate ourselves to more than that. But it's basically just a 1 year internship with X amount of hours volunteering time.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of the work of love, though. You love
it. It is a work
doing.
Of yes. love. Yes, yeah. it is a work of love.
You're definitely not doing it for money.
No, because it's a volunteer work.
I guess that makes a big difference.
And we like talking to people. We like, you know, we like educating people, and that's what it is. It's an extension of the University of Minnesota, and we're basically just foot soldiers bringing the information out to the masses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Glad you're doing it. I'm glad you're helping our listeners out, too.
And if we don't get to their question, we should give them the website.
How do we do that?
It's extension.umn.edu.
Extension.umn.edu.
Mm-hmm. That's a wealth of knowledge.
Oh, it is.
Click on the garden tab, you'll be amazed. So if you even have landscaping questions, like how do I landscape my backyard? What kind of flowers bloom when? What should go in the sun or the shade? All that information's there.
Wonderful.
What kind of bug is this? You know, what's my plant? What weed is this?
It's you could there. Spend hours on that.
You could spend hours. Yes. And since you can't really be outside in the rain anyway.
Try it.
Yeah, go ahead. Well, you can be out in the rain if it's not lightning.
Yes.
But if it's lightning, go back in the
house. Be safe.
Be safe.
Let's go back to the phones, guys. Richard in Forest Lake is first up here. Richard, we're listening.
Hi, Richard.
Richard.
I've got two questions. My French lilac hasn't bloomed for 2 years. Should I cut it down? And the second question, I'm using wood chips in the garden. Will that affect my tomato plants? Thank you.
Okay, good questions. The lilac, it depends on if you're pruning it. If it's getting full sun, it should bloom. It does. They do bloom on 2 and 3 year old wood, and they set their blooms within 3 weeks after they finish blooming in the spring. So make sure you're not pruning it at the wrong time. Make sure it's getting full sun, and make sure it's old enough. You know, I wouldn't cut it down because then you're delaying the blooms for another 2 or 3 years. The wood chips. Wood chips in your vegetable garden, it gets a little tricky. I wouldn't recommend it because wood chip mulch is supposed to stay on top of the soil. And it's okay around your tomatoes, so don't pull them back this year. But next year, just don't do it. And then this fall, make sure you take all those wood chips out. Because our gardens, we work our veggie gardens so much, you're tilling those wood chips into the soil, and that can create problems with nitrogen fixing. with nitrogen being absorbed and then released and burning your plants. If it's just sitting on top of the soil, like around your shrubs, that's not a problem at all. It's when we keep mixing these wood chips in. So there's better things to use
in
your garden.
There's better things to use than there, yeah. You know,
like
leaf
straw,
mulch.
Leaf mulch, newspaper.
The problem also with wood chips is that it's so much of a thicker grind,
mm-hmm.
And the chips are bigger, that they take it takes less to break down.
Mm-hmm.
What you're always wanting to do is constantly add amendments to the soil,
yep.
And
yeah.
Making it as rich as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And
the
process is a little bit longer with wood chips.
All right, let's see who's been waiting. Phyllis is calling from Edina, I believe. Phyllis, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Hi, Phyllis.
Good morning. I have two questions as well. I have a Japanese lilac with some very dead branches in it. Is this a good time of year to cut those out?
Yep.
It is. Okay. And I have bright red teeny bugs that are all over my hostas. I don't know if they're that Japanese beetle or what, and I'm trying to figure out what to spray them with.
That's four-line plant bugs.
Four-line plant bug nymphs. Those are the little four-line plant bugs, and they should have already gotten bigger because I thought the season was almost done. But they'll make little brown, black dots all over your plants because they have scraping mouth parts, so they scrape off circles. Then they will turn into the adult four-line plant bugs, which are yellow and black with four-line stripes on them. And they eat a little bit of your veggies, too, and your leaves,
They're not a big deal. They're just eating?
Yeah.
It's more of a cosmetic issue.
It's cosmetic, issue. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I wouldn't worry about them.
Texter wants to know, is it too late to cut back my Northern Lights azalea and rhododendron?
Okay. It's never too late if you don't care about the flowers for next year. Yes, it's too late.
That's the easiest way to explain it, I guess.
Because they've set their flowers, they set their buds for 3 weeks after they finish blooming, and I think you're past that point now. So if you need some strategic pruning, one branch is weird or something, you can do that. But understand any of your lilacs, your mock oranges, your azaleas, your rhododendrons, if you do any pruning on them, you're cutting back and cutting off next year's flowers. If flowers aren't a problem for you and you don't care about that, then you can prune them.
All right. We have another half hour of the show to go. If you want to call in your question, 651-989-9226 or text 81807. And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on 830 WCCO. In studio, a couple of master gardeners helping you out, Teresa Rooney and Randy Rao. And we've got, as you know, a lot of callers, a lot of texters. So we have enough for about another 10 hours.
Excellent. We'll be here for 10 hours.
Can't do it, but we'd love to.
A marathon garden program.
We have taken over the station.
Let's go back to the phones because folks have been waiting. Joe, I think, is one of them. Joe, what is your question for the master gardeners?
Hi, Joe.
Good morning. Hey, I've got some 15-year-old red twig dogwoods,
mm-hmm.
and the leaves are being chewed on, and then the branch will dry up and die off. Any ideas what that might be?
Well, the leaves being chewed on is just it is an insect. There's nothing mm-hmm. to worry about. The branch dying, that's a problem. I would look for a borer. Look where the branch is attaching to the stem. You could see little holes. Or look further down the stem to see if there's a borer at the base of that stem and each branch is dying off. Dogwoods can get borers. And then I would go to the extension site, extension.umn.edu, and find out the proper way to take care of that. Because you have to treat at a certain time. That's when the borers are available and active. That would be my guess why the branches are dying. Unless like you have like a raccoon or you have children playing and they're breaking branches, that can do damage to where the branches die.
You're going to be able to tell.
If
it's twisted and it's busted off, you can tell that. Or if it's gnawed, that indicates chewing.
Or if it's just totally dead. Then you know there's some problem with the nutrients getting from the trunk to the branch.
The stem.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's kind of alternate if we can between text messages and phone callers. Texas says blueberry bushes bloomed but no berries. Possible cause and solution.
Not pollinated. So there's no pollinators. Yeah. So if the bees couldn't get out and the hornets and wasps and flies couldn't get out to pollinate at that time, if you only have one blueberry bush, they are sort of self-fertile. But if you can have another variety that blooms at a similar time, you can get some cross-pollination, get better berry, better pollination. But I would say with flowers and no berries, that either they weren't pollinated. So that's why you just didn't have any pollinators.
Okay. Back to the phones we go. Katie is calling from Burnsville. Katie, good morning.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi.
How can we help you?
Oh, we moved into a house in December, and now this spring we found we have raspberry bushes, and the bushes look really healthy, and they're nice and green, and there are no flowers or berries. Nothing's happening with them. I'm wondering if it's too early or if we should be doing something to encourage it.
It could be a little early. It depends on what time of year they fruit. It depends on what kind of berries there are, what kind of bushes. Also, if they chopped everything down, they bloom on, I believe it's second or third year wood. So if they chopped everything down last year to make it look nice when you were buying it or whatever, they may have just cut off the branches and the primo canes that will be
just give it a couple more years.
Give it a couple more years.
If that's what happened, it might be a couple of years before you would see anything.
Yeah. So you should see berries probably either this year or next year, I would say. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Texas says, good morning. This is probably a simple question for you. Can you name, as a test it sounds like, can you name five or six perennials for a smaller garden that are hardy and colorful and of various heights?
Well, it depends if it's sun and shade. My favorite response, it depends. For a shady garden, I would suggest things like coral bells, turtle head. There's a small turtle head.
Wild geranium.
Hostas would be good. And epimediums. And then maybe Jacob's ladder. For a sunny garden.
Any kind of the sedums. Mm-hmm. Sedums has a wide variety of different species or different plants. You can go with anything from your
ground
Sarah Jameson to brown ones to ones that are almost 2 feet tall by the time they bloom.
What about the website? Would that be a help?
That would be excellent help. Yeah,
place to start.
And give us that again.
Extension.umn.edu. I'd also throw some coreopsis out there, maybe a peony that could give you some bushes. There's just tons. So it depends on whether it's a sun or shade.
Okay. Yeah, it would depend on that, I guess, huh? Jeff in Golden Valley is on the phone with a question. Go ahead, Jeff. Thank you.
Hi, Jeff.
Yeah, good morning. Say, I've been having problems with blights. I believe that's how you say it, with my tomato plants.
Okay.
Do I need to plant them in another area? Is the soil wrong? Too much water? I mean, I get it every year. I don't know what's happening.
You do want to rotate your tomatoes, so you don't want to grow your tomatoes or that family in the same place for 3 years in a row, if possible, or for 3 years. So year one, it can be there. Year two and three, something else is there. Year four, you can put your tomatoes back there again. Also, make sure that you have, as soon as you plant your tomato, that you put a mulch down so there's a barrier between your tomato and the soil. Lots of good air circulation. Mm-hmm. Grow plants that are resistant to a lot of the diseases, so they have letters after their names. Those would be the hybrids, VTFN, whether they're resistant to Verticillium wilt, tobacco mosaic virus, Fusarium wilt, nematodes. So look for those things. But crop rotation is really important, and make sure you're amending the soil with compost.
And full sun, obviously.
Full sun.
Because that's gonna get the energy, and it's going
to be
less
healthier.
Stress tolerant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. More stress tolerant.
And make sure they have a lot of good air circulation, so don't crowd your tomatoes.
If you're just joining us, Master Gardeners Randy and Teresa in studio helping you out either by phone or by text. Speaking of texts, how can I get rid of wild morning glory? It's taking over my backyard.
Oh, well, you need to pull them up. You can treat them with a broadleaf herbicide if you want. Follow the instructions. Make sure they're not going to seed. So you want to pull them up as quickly as you can.
Okay. Yeah. Tony in Maple Lake is calling in, I believe. Tony, what is your question?
Good morning, hi, Tony.
We have our lilac bushes. On some of them, the part of the bush, the leaves are curling up, and but the rest of the bush, the leaves seem to be fine. What would be causing that?
Want to check the branches?
Yep. Make sure your branches aren't being with a borer.
Yep.
Because there are lilac borers out there. Also, you may want to go to the extension website and see kind of what the damage is looking like. If someone is spraying an herbicide, you could have an herbicide drift, and so the leaves do curl and they look a little deformed for that. And the rest of the plant should be fine, but those leaves might die, then they'll resprout new leaves.
And check for branch vitality. I mean, if it's bending and there's still a chance in there that it has live in there.
Mm-hmm.
If it snaps off, obviously it's furniture.
Yep.
And then cut it off at the nearest new growth.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep, that would be good. Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's see what Texter has to say here. My potted cherry tomato plant has yellow leaves. Should I fertilize, less water, cut the yellow ones off? Thank you.
It depends on how old it is. If you just planted it last week, don't fertilize. Give it about 3 weeks in the pot. They do need feeding in a pot, so you will have to fertilize it. Take the yellow leaves off. They're not looking good. Make sure you're not over or under watering it, because that yellow leaves could result either way.
Yeah, either one. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, a lawn question. How about that? hi, it says, great program. We did not get any weed feed on our lawn yet this year. Would like to now. What should we use? Or should they do that now?
Well,
weed and feed.
You know, you could do the feeding. It's a little hot when it's this hot. That's stressing on your lawn. You don't want to stress your lawn out.
Right.
And I would probably at this point then maybe do spot treatments on the weeds. So a little handheld sprayer would be good. You know, just the handheld, the little bottles. If you have a big weed problem, or dig your weeds up. Otherwise, I'd wait till it cools down just a little bit, and then you can do just a regular feeding and skip the weed and feed.
Okay. Before we break, Rick in Roseville is waiting on the phone with a question. Go ahead, Rick. Good morning.
Morning. I'd like to know about transplanting Asiatic lilies, including stargazers. What time of year would be best to transplant them?
You want to do them when they're not blooming. So probably early spring would be best for them. Or you can do it after they finish in like late August into September. And with those lilies, those Asiatics, they like to dig themselves a little deeper than you think they are. So dig down quite a bit deeper than you think so, because they work their way down into the soil. So you don't want to be digging down and go right into the lily, into the bulb down there. So dig under it if possible. And by the second week of September, you should have those transplanted, so they have plenty of time to set their roots and get ready for next year.
All right, very good. Hang on, guys. We're going to take a quick break here. We have more show to come. A couple of Master Gardeners in studio welcoming your phone calls and text messages here on our Smart Garden Show. And good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show, brought to us by our friends at By the Yard Patio Furniture. 78 degrees. It's our Twin City temperature. Any rain, more rain. It looks like kind of happening this weekend. In fact, overnight tonight, and talking with Teresa and Randy, 75. That's kind of what the low will be tonight. If you want
and
to call
that's
it
our
the
normal
low.
High.
Oh, that's our normal
cold
high.
Snap.
Yeah, cold snap.
Yeah.
You don't have to cover the plans, though.
Not tonight. let's go back to the phones. Then we have a lot of texts I want to pick up on, too.
Okay.
Ed is calling from Bloomington with a question. Hi, good morning, Ed. How can we help you?
Hi, Ed.
Good morning. I have a question about clematis. I understand, in addition to different blooms, colors, and so on, there are different blooming cycles, or some clematis.
Yep,
definitely.
Bloom different.
Yep.
Could you explain that, please?
There's three different kinds of clematis. There's clematis that bloom on old wood, clematis that bloom on new wood, clematis that bloom on both old and new wood. So when you prune, depends upon when they bloom. So if they only bloom on new wood, you can cut those to the ground every spring and everything will have flowers on it that year. If they only bloom on old wood and you did that, you would be cutting off all of the flowers, because they would have set their flowers just like the azaleas and the lilacs do last year. If they bloom on new and old wood, you can just cut how you need to.
You kind of need to know what
you do need
what
to
the
know.
Variety
yep.
is.
Yep.
Right?
So you need to know what the variety is, and then it will tell you whether it's a 1, 2, 3 or ABC, however they're listing it. Or if you don't know the variety, when it's blooming, just take that little branch and tie a little piece of string on it, and take a branch that didn't bloom, and then next year see if the branch that bloomed, if you only see branches that are, if you only see blooms on the old branches, or if you see blooms on the new branches.
All right. Interesting. let's see. Texas has been hand-picking rose slugs for 2 weeks. Not much foliage left. How long will they be around, and how do I prevent them next year?
That's a good question. They should be wrapping up pretty soon. Rose slugs are a little, they're sawflies. They look like little caterpillars, and you don't see them until you see them. And once you see them, you will see that your roses are covered with them. But until then, you just think there's something wrong with your roses and you don't see them. The green, they blend in so easily into the leaves. You know, just hand picking, cleaning really well up in the fall, make sure everything's cleaned up, and then look early for them next year and try to get earlier on them. And I would, again, go to extension.umn.edu for more information.
All right, Randy the Magician, this one's for you.
Uh-oh.
How do I keep deer from eating my hostas?
Oh,
you can figure that out.
No, it's impossible. I don't know. It's tough.
To me, at least in our yard, which they've devastated more than once, mm-hmm. they like certain kind of hostas and they leave others alone. Yeah, I'm not sure why.
I think it's a texture thing.
Maybe.
You know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you could always read the Guide to Humane Critter Control.
There you
That's
go.
True.
And, you know, and that would give book. You.
Which
would,
is available everywhere.
It's available everywhere.
All right, good. Could you repeat that? This is obviously an earlier part of the show. Could you repeat the name of the lilac that blooms again?
Oh, that's Miss Kim. And like the girl's
Miss
name,
Kim,
Miss Kim.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's Korean lilac, not Japanese. Korean lilac.
Oh, yes.
I don't know what I was thinking. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Texter says, I planted a Honeycrisp tree a couple of years ago. Last year it had a couple of buds, but no apples. We had to put chicken wire in the ground around. I'm not sure where this carries on to. What the question is. Because of the base. Around the base. Mm-hmm. Because some animal was chewing the roots. The tree looks healthy this year and more firmly rooted, but no buds. What do you think my problem is, and what should we do about it?
Is it a new one, they said?
This was two years old.
Well, I think they take a few years for them to see any kind of fruit.
The Honeycrisp are slower to develop.
You're like 3 or 4 years from my recollection.
Yeah. And it does matter what kind of rootstock they're on. They're on dwarf rootstock. Right. They'll be mature in 3 to 5 years. I think with Honeycrisp, I'd probably bump that out 2 years. If they're on semi-dwarfs, it takes 5 to 7. If they're not on a dwarfing rootstock, it can take up to 10 years until the tree is mature enough.
So just be patient.
Be patient.
A lot of it is just being patient.
Yep.
Okay. Texter says, we are unable to plant our existing garden this year. What should we do now to kill weeds and have it ready to plant next year? Should we cover it with black plastic or Roundup or what?
Well, it depends.
I would avoid the Roundup at all costs.
Yeah. What I would probably do is just cut. I'm really a lazy gardener, so what I would do is just mark out the area that you want, cut the grass down short, give it a good drink of water. You don't have to because it's raining now. Cover it with 4 or 5 layers of newspaper. Make sure they overlap. Get that wet. Throw some compost or straw or bark on top of it, and then next year just pull everything, pull the bark back, dig into the hole, and plant your plants. If you're going to put in a veggie garden there, just pull all the bark off, and then it'll be ready to go. That would be the easiest thing to do. It's called just no-till gardening.
Yeah, avoid the tilling because that's what's breaks down
That would be the easiest thing to do.
Okay.
Micro Corbin.
Here's an oops text. My husband thought he was spraying liquid fence on our lilac and then realized he forgot to clean out the Roundup from the deck sprayer.
Oh, dear.
Any chance the lilac bush will come back next year, or is it a goner?
I would give it a year or so, maybe, depending on how bad it was and what the mixture was. It may have had some kind of...
And if you know he did it, well, it's probably too late now.
Yeah,
but if anybody else does that... First of all, make sure you mark stuff really well and don't go back and forth with these chemical things. Keep one for the killing chemicals and one for the protection or feeding. Just keep them separate, like put red on it or something. And then what I would probably do is if you realize you've made that mistake as soon as possible, like right away, just spray it really hard with water because you can wash a lot of that off. It doesn't get rain safe within an hour or two or three, depending upon the chemical you use. But yeah, like Randy said, I just give it a chance to see if it comes back. Treat it as nice as possible.
It might be stressed out. So going into the fall, water it, like Teresa said, right now, depending on how much you had.
Yeah.
Just give it a good dousing.
It really depends upon how much was absorbed into the plant.
We're just about out of time. Good to see you, Randy. Congratulations on getting that title of Master Gardener and Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Always fun to have you in studio.
I like being here.
And let's do this. Let's give that great website, which you could spend the rest of today and this weekend.
Because it's really too hot to be outside.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You know, and that website is?
extension.umn.edu. And happy Father's Day to all the papas out there.
Oh, very good. Thank you guys both for being with us. All right. Again, that website is real slowly now.
extension.umn.edu. And if that's too much to remember, you live in Minnesota, it's the University of Minnesota. Just say Raspberries, UMN, you'll get right over
there. You'll get right there. Thank you both. Very good.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, absolutely refreshing!
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.